in Romans 13. As Christians, God expects us to serve. Amen? We are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to just sit and wait for him to come. And so tonight in verse 11, he says that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So our title is Awake. Let's pray. Lord, use your word now to teach us and grow us. We thank you for the privilege of meeting in the middle of the week and pray that, Lord, this time would bring glory to you and work miracles in hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing the time. Most Christians don't know the time. I don't think that's true in our church, but I mean, most Christians around the world don't know that it's the end is near. But we know that it's the time, isn't it? And that we are to behave as if our salvation is tomorrow. The completion of our salvation, which is to get our new bodies, could be tonight. Praise the Lord. That'll be fine with us. And God says that should have an impact in our Christian behavior, knowing that Jesus could come back at any moment. You know, we're told in James 4 that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It seems like a long time to us, but compared to eternity, it is just like a bit of water vapor coming off of some boiling water. And he says, because we know the time, there in verse 11, it is high time to awake. High time, meaning now, meaning get serious about it. It's time to wake up. It's time to awake out of sleep. Because many, many Christians are asleep. It means they're not alert, they're not awake, they're not serving, they're just sleeping on the job, waiting, not even waiting for Jesus necessarily. So go to 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll see a cross-reference to this truth about waking out of our sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 to 8. It says, therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So he's talking about us as Christians. He said, let us not sleep as do others. That we are not to be sleeping on the job. Heaven will be a place of rest. Earth isn't for Christians. Earth is a place of service and commitment and obedience. And if you go to Mark 13, Jesus told a parable about this. Mark chapter 13, verse 35. This issue that when he returns, he will find some sleeping. Mark 13, 35. Just reading the end of the parable here. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. That, of course, is referring to Jesus returning at even or at midnight or the cock crowing in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you what? Sleeping. Mark 13, 36. So Jesus saying through that parable that when he returns, he will find some Christians sleeping on the job. How sad. It's high time to awake, he says. We need to be awake and alert and watching for Jesus. Back to our passage, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Meaning the day of our redemption through our new bodies, through the return of Jesus. Then he gets very practical here in verse 12 and verse 13. talking about waking up. First of all, verse 12, cast off the works of darkness. Of course, we talked about this on Sunday. Casting off the old man. But here he says we must cast off these works of darkness. We're not here to serve sin or Satan. We're here to serve Jesus as his children. So we need to wake up and cast off the works of darkness. He tells us in Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So one way that we can be awake and ready for Jesus to return is to make sure we're casting off the works of darkness. The second way in verse 12 is putting on the armor of light. So again, very similar to what we talked about on Sunday, but we're to cast off the work of darkness and we're to put on that armor. We didn't talk about the armor on Sunday, but of course we're all very familiar with it in Ephesians chapter 6, that we are to be wearing not just any armor, amen, but the armor of light. That would be the Lord's armor. And he breaks it down for us into those seven pieces there in Ephesians chapter 6. Many Christians are trusting their feeble Christianity, their feeble own walk, if you will, to protect them from the devil. That's foolish. He's casting darts all the time. And he has a lot of wiles up his sleeve. So we need to be putting on that armor of light, casting off the work of darkness. Verse 13, walk honestly. That's practical, isn't it? Walking, of course, implies we're going somewhere, but we're to walk honestly. We're to walk worthy, if you will, of the vocation, Ephesians 4:1, of the, wherewith we are called. We're called to be Christians and servants and soldiers and so forth. Then again, more practicality, as in the day. Walk honestly as in the day. And then he says, not in rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, and envying. We can talk about some of these words because they're older English words. So rioting, that's not talking about what we call rioting today. That means partying. So Christians, again, they're asleep. They're just partying their way through life. Drunkenness is obvious. We don't need to explain that one. Chambering is sexual promiscuity. And boy, if that isn't rampant in our society today. Wantonness means lust and filthiness. Strife is still used the same way. We all know what strife is. And envying, of course, is the sin of jealousy, coveting what others have. He says, put on the armor of light and walk honestly as in the day. And then he says what it's like if we're walking in the night. Rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, and envying. And then he wraps it all up for us beautifully in verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision. So first of all, cast off the works of darkness if we're going to awake. Second of all, put on the armor of light if we're going to awake. Third of all, walk honestly in all that we do. And then fourthly, don't make provision for the flesh. What does that mean? It means we need to plan ahead to never make provision for the flesh. When we sin, go to Galatians 5:16 if you would. When we sin, most of the time, in our subconscious anyway, we're planning ahead to sin, aren't we? It doesn't just surprise us and catch us off guard. Usually we think about it, we dwell on it, right? When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And then we, you know, that we're fighting with the Holy Spirit over it, and then we sin. So we make provision for it. We don't. And that's not all sin, but most of our sins that are besetting sins are like that. They don't just sneak up on us and boom. Usually we plan for it in our head. And that's what he says. Don't make provision for it. Don't plan ahead for sin. Matter of fact, don't make provision for the flesh at all. Galatians 5:16 says what? Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So a Christian, let's say, who used to struggle with being an alcoholic, Do you think they should go into the pub to witness? That's not making that's making provision for the flesh, isn't it? That's putting themselves in a position where they know they're going to be tempted in a major way. And yeah, you can say, oh, I'm super Christian and I can handle this. No, you're better off just to stay away from what you know the devil's going to try to use against you. That's what he's talking about. Don't make provision. Instead, put up these boundaries and walls around yourself to protect yourself from these temptations of the flesh. And that's very practical. So we need to be awake, he says. No sleeping on the job. We'll be able to rest as much as we want when we get to heaven. But we're not to rest down here. We're to work. We're to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we're doing that, we need to cast off the works of darkness. We need to put on the armor of light. We need to walk honestly. And then lastly, make not provision for the flesh. You know, when you go on a camping trip, you get all your provisions ready, right? Or if you're going to go hunting, you get your provisions and throw them all in the back of the ute. God says, don't make provisions for the flesh. Don't let the devil trick you into doing that, into planning ahead to sin. Because we're very good at that. So we need to be awake. Jesus says that when he returns, sadly, he says, will he find you sleeping? There in Mark 13:36. Will he find some Christians asleep on the job instead of awake and alert and expecting Jesus and serving the Lord? Sadly, yes, when the Son of Man cometh, Luke 18:8, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's hope in our case, the answer is yes. Amen. Because we're awake. Lord, thank you for speaking to us from your word. May we take this admonition seriously in our Christian walk and be alert and expecting the return of Jesus. And while we are alert, may we be serving. May we be wearing that armor and walking honestly, Lord. And whatever we do, not make provision for the flesh, but use the time that we have to serve you and please you. So thanks for speaking to us. We love you.